Say, Lord, send me one word. One word that will give direction forever to my life. That one word that I will run with. I've come to sit down now to listen to the word of God. Every form of distraction is cut off. All of my faculties, I say peace to you. All of my faculties, my mind, I speak peace to you. You will hear the word of the Lord. I hear the word of the Lord. I hear God's word. I will never despise the word of the Lord. I obey the commands of the Lord. I've received this grace. Just give him thanks. Give him thanks that this word of the Lord, you price it high. You honor God's word. The fear of God is in your spirit. Say, Lord, I thank you. I worship you. To you be all the glory, Father. In Jesus' most precious name, we pray.
The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, so our school of prayer, and we are continuing in the praying mode. As is our habit, before we continue, we take some instructions from the Word of God. And before we do that, we take our declaration of understanding. All right, are we ready? So let's take that declaration. 1, 2, let's go. Now I declare. That the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in the manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Please don't sit down yet. I want you to open your Bibles quickly. Let's read something together. You tend to sound no different as a person when you are standing. Let's take this Bible reading together. I want us to read the whole of Psalm 51. We are going to read from verse 1 to 19. Psalm 51. Which version do we read? Let me see. Let's read New Living Translation, everybody. New Living Translation, Psalm 51. All right, are we ready?
Yes.
All right, 1, 2, let's go. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence. And don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to rebels, and they will return to you. Forgive me for shedding blood, O God, who saves. Then I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you. You do not desire a sacrifice, or I will offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. Look with favor on Zion and help her. Rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will be pleased with sacrifices offered in the right spirit, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will again be sacrificed on your altar. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Please, let's take our seats. The Lord is good. Now, there's a reason why we read this, and that's, I want to emphasize something to us that we often overlook in the matter of prayer. And that's why we read this. Please let me just quickly read something else again, this time around from the book of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, what we call the Lord's Prayer. Let's just quickly read that. The disciples came to the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, teach us to pray. Which verse do I start from now? Let me just start from verse 9. It said, pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Then the comment is added, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, so in this verse 13, it says, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, before, when I read this, the impression I had was that delivering from evil is that God should deliver us from evil happening to us, so that as we go out in the day, we will not run into stray bullets, or stray bullets will not run into us. As we go out in the day, the vehicle, we enter into a public transport, and then may it not have an accident, something we don't have any control over. You know, you just go somewhere and somebody has planted a bomb, a weapon of mass destruction. We say, deliver us from such evils. Now, there are scriptures that talk about that, certainly. But again, this is not one of them. That was not what he was saying here. And I can easily prove that to you if you just read the whole thing in context. It's a contrast, okay? Do not lead us into temptation, but. So whatever that but is, must be an opposite, the opposite of the thing that is temptation, okay? So do not lead us into temptation, but don't let us fall into temptation. That's what he was saying. So I found out that what he was saying is that, in fact, some versions will say, deliver us from the evil one. And what is the job of the evil one? I've said it again and again, is a tempter. The job of Satan is to tempt. Christians are often taught, all right, to be afraid as if, please let me just go to that side. This world is not a contest between God and Satan. They are not equal. Do you get my point? It may be a contest between you and Satan, maybe, but not between God and the devil. There's nothing like that. They are not equal. If God wants to vanquish him like this, he will go. In fact, he has set his date and he knows that. Do you get my point? Because I see people talk all the time, I said the devil, and the way they talk about the devil is as if God gave me something, the devil wants to take it. And the one that I've been complaining about for some time now, people are now saying that when God blesses you, hide it so that witches will not collect the blessing. You understand? Which I think is an insult to God. For you to even teach that to Christians, you are insulting. He's very insulting to the Spirit of God. So if God is doing something in your life, the person must hide it so that it will not be stolen by... Now, listen, people can miss... Like, for example, now, if something is precious, the Bible says, don't cast your pearls before swine. Okay? The idea, they will treat it anyhow. Do you get my point? That's it. That's a different matter. If something is precious to you, you may not want to share it with anybody because you don't want them to disdain it and talk you down. Sometimes people can actually talk you out of your vision if you keep on sharing it with everybody. People will sit down and talk. So don't, let's not conflate the matter. Let's not mix them up. It's different from you. God gives you a blessing and you think you must hide it because if witches are so powerful, if they were to discover, I saw people act a drama and say that why somebody was losing his business was because he was telling people about it. And one girl was pregnant. You know, my wife was watching it. Okay, I couldn't watch that. She's very patient when it comes to watching sometimes very useless movies. She wants to see how useless can this thing be. Me, as the beginning, after five, if you are doing a movie, if you don't impress me in 5 minutes, you can be sure of one thing, I am not watching beyond the first 5 minutes. I'm very impatient. In fact, small aside, one day my friend and I were watching a movie, and then this, now we're both doctors, we're both residents that time. And in the movie, a Van Damme movie, if you know who Van Damme is, we're watching it too, and then they've set one guy on fire, a flamethrower was used to set him on fire. So we're still watching. Then the guy came back later to continue the fight. We put off the TV. We're so angry, we put off the television. Both of us said, what is that? Now, because we're both doctors, you understand, we found it so ridiculous. You just set a man on fire, 100% burns, and he's still fighting. Where? See,
You know, we just got up, say, put on that TV. This not a Nigerian movie. It's a Vandal movie. We were so angry that, no, they don't set a human being on fire from head to toe. Then he'll show up around the corner and continue the fight. No, dying he shall die. Now, I'm that kind of person. I'm very impatient with movies. In fact, there are movies that, after the release, maybe very popular, maybe like 5 years later was when I watched it. Because the first day I tried to watch it, after 10 minutes, I thought they were deceiving themselves. I just put up the TV. So you can imagine when Christians now started a movie, that a Christian girl was pregnant, and then she went to visit her own mother, but accidentally she walked into a meeting of her mother, her uncle, and another woman who happened to be in the same coven. That day, she miscarried, and then she died. Do I need to tell you that I didn't watch it further than that? How foolish can Christians be? I said, how foolish can Christians be? So what they were teaching us that, please, when you are pregnant, stay inside the household so that witches won't see you. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. If they don't see it, the table will not be full. Please, I've been saying that thing again and again. I hope that those people who make such nonsense movies will get to hear this thing one day. You can't be preaching fear of the devil to Christians. There is nothing, nothing the devil can do about the blessing of God in your life. Let me say it to you again. He has only one power, and that's the power to tempt you. You have to walk out of God's blessings with your own hands. The Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden. Then he placed the man there. What could the devil do about it? Nothing. So he went there and started speaking. Has God really said? Has God? It was when they started listening to him, falling for his temptations. That was when they, listen, incurred the wrath of God. Not the devil. Even the devil himself got his own judgment in that process. For even tempting them. This witchcraft that we preach that we call Christianity is not right. This witchcraft that we preach as if senior witch and junior witch are quarreling. And our Jesus is the senior witch. So eventually, if we pray long enough, he will win. I don't know the kind of Christianity we practice these days. Many of us. Listen, it is you the devil has a problem with. He doesn't have, see, he can't do anything about God in your life. Which is why he keeps on tempting. That's why he keeps on tempting. He doesn't have, please, how many times will I say this? The devil can't kill you because he's angry. He's been angry all his life. He's been angry all your life. You are not alive because of the inefficiency of the devil. Because of his ignorance concerning your moves. People want to travel, they're hiding it from people. I will shout it. It bothers me more about the person who come and steal from my compound knowing that I'm not around, and the one wants to go and go on the highway and then make my car some salt or some sugar. The devil can't, he can't as much as lick my tire. The devil can't lick my tire. Even if the tire is old and it's threadbare and I've not had money to change it, the devil can't put pin inside. He maintains, he's very, the guy has sense. So he knows there's a possibility of, now listen to me, it's in the scripture, there's a possibility of being destroyed before the time. That was why they were asking Jesus, are you coming to destroy us before the time? So, to prevent that, he keeps his distance from some places, including my old tire. I've told you many times, God will be angry with you if you are afraid of the devil. The day you say, don't let them hear, the witches may hear, God will punish you that night. Say, what if they hear and call? What would they now do? Praise God. God just gave me 500 million naira. Amen. What would the witches now do? Suddenly they would now go to the bank and go and order a transfer of my money. It's not possible. It is forbidden by God that you should be afraid of the devil in that area. It's forbidden. And that's why people separate families, separate friends. Till now, supposed Christians are still going around to ask, who is doing me? People, this is 2026. So we should have left that foolishness behind in like 2000, turn of the millennium. I'm sorry. Do you know, I see this things online. When people want to draw, see, I know how to draw crowd. So I knew which that time. And people will join. Amen. 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 If you see that movie out, if you see the comments, hey, and I know why I'm not making progress. I say, you will not make any progress. The other day, I found an old picture. I thought that wasn't, you know, because by the time my children were born, all right, digital photography was already, and so being able to take pictures easily was already coming on board. So a few years after, by the time Akindo was a few years old, they have smartphones that could take. So I have a lot of their pictures, a lot. So one day I saw one which was wearing Agbada. You should see the picture. My mother-in-law used to call him PDP chairman because of that photograph. He had a cap on his head. But it was a small boy. He had a feeding bottle in his hand. Big, I can show you. In fact, currently, if you have his number, that is his current, is it DP? Yes, display image, yes. Big Agbada with the red cap. And I had this water bottle, this one you suck on in his hand. He said, that spoiled the picture. But this is where I'm going. So one day I saw the picture, but that's why he now saw it. I posted it to our family group. So everybody was commenting on it. Then his brother now said, why is his mouth open? Do you understand? Of course, in that picture, his mouth was open. We caught him with his mouth open. He said, why is your mouth open? It's the answer he gave. He said, a closed mouth is a closed destiny. That's what the young man said. He said, because a closed mouth is a closed destiny. So if witches can make you shut your mouth, they are just helping you shut your destiny. That's what I'm talking about. Because of fear of them. Please, let me beg you again. Let me command you. See, that your auntie that they said is a witch. Now, I am not discussing whether she's a witch or she's not. It's kind of irrelevant. Do you get my point? I'm not discussing it. I could sit down and prove to you that she's not a witch. Then you prove to me that she is. But you see, the issue that it has not changed anything. That is the person I'm commanding you to go and greet this weekend. Enter her house. I'm giving you a commandment. And in cases applying to you specifically, disobey it at your own peril. Enter her house. Say, auntie, long time. It's been a while. Even she should be wondering, what are you doing here? Because she knows your mother thinks she's a witch. The one that shocks me most, man of God, is even men who believe such nonsense. You know, when I was young, I thought it was only women that were afraid of witches. Do you understand? But I grew up and found out that more men are afraid of witches. Usually the witches are their wives and their mothers-in-law. For those of you who are labeling your mother, you women that are calling your mother-in-law witch, let me just tell you now, what a man sows, that he shall also reap. One day you'll be somebody's mother-in-law. And just know the name they will call you that time. Be preparing your own name. Whatever you are calling her now, you shall be called that. If you like, think I'm... See, one of the things that pains me most about ministry that I run today, is that this word which has to be coming out of my mouth. In all honesty, when I'm not preaching, you don't hear it, unless we are joking. I can get into this and say, who's the witch that ate from my bread? Then we will laugh. But in sincerity, in reality, I never talk about it when I'm not here preaching. Do they exist? What does it matter? I'm commanding you this week. You better go and sit down your auntie if you want to live long, if you want to prosper, if you want blessings to come. Sit down there. Auntie, good. I know you don't have too much faith, so 5 minutes. Do you know? I have some family friends. This is the interesting part. Listen to this. Listen to this. The man's old man now, of course. His own children will come to his house and they won't sleep there. Now, listen to me. And what's the reason? They will tell you that it's because he does juju that this happened to one of the family members. This person fell sick. That's why this person died. All those kind of things. One day somebody met the man and asked him, Baba, look at what your children are saying. Is it true? Now, it's what he said I want you to note. He said, yes, juju he does. That he gets involved in those things. He said it's for their own good. He said, I come from an extended family where rivalry is tough. These things they are saying I do, I use it for their own protection. Now, that's not where I'm going. Because of that, see, after that, I don't know whether it's true or false and all of that, whether the thing is real or he's just fooling himself, I don't know. They all avoid it. But he has a nephew who's a Christian who's a real Christian. He comes down, parks his car, walks into that house, sleeps there. And he has money. You could stay in any hotel. He stays there. Eats the food there. And when he's going, he'll collect money and give him, "Daddy, please take." Because he took care of him when he was young. He has not forgotten the favors, those favors of those days. And anytime he has to drive past, that is the house he stays in. The children of the home, they don't stay there. So is that, what didn't concern me, concern your juju. Fact, as a Christian, when I arrive, the juju, if it was there, they will go to the backyard. Especially if there's a big queue, they can stay there. And if there's no big queue, is that not why they go to trees? Go into a tree, that is where the witches are supposed to stay. That's what they tell us. As old as we are, you still be cutting tree down because of witch. Thunder. Let me not say more than that. Because I'm getting angry, vexed. And you destroy a valuable tree. Do you know how much they sell me a lemon? And the thing is, it will produce for you one basket now. They'll tell you it's an Irish lemon, Brazilian lemon, or whatever. People pay good money. You cut it down. What do you think you are still poor? You've been cutting down important things in your life because you're afraid of witches. Nonsense. Nonsense. Rubbish. Look, God gets angry about these things. So. I'm telling you, let me use my, he gets angry. Now, wait, this one is not my child at all. I don't know this one. Somebody touches you by mistake. You drop the, you do. I'm more afraid of a mosquito landing on my cheek, on my neck, than somebody who I don't know touching me. Please, I've said it many times. Do they have power to touch people and make something disappear or make something happen to them? I don't know. I don't care. But I wish they had. And they should come and touch me. But you know that prayer I pray to God? That whoever dares it, the brain must disappear. The brain will shrink. Today, you are senior juju man. Next day, they will come and say, "Good night." They say, "Baba, it's just morning now." You say, "It's just morning. Your brain is malfunctioning. I will bridge all the wires. You want to jump up, you will dive down." You know what I mean? It's jump, you want to jump to pick something, you won't know you're on the floor. Say, "Why did you lie down there?" Say, I was jumping. It's me that bridged the wires in your brain. Because something gave you the impression that you have power. Let me just tell you this again. Please, I don't know why I'm sitting on this thing. There are two types of juju men. There are two. There are false ones and there are genuine ones. The genuine ones, they know their boundary. What I've told you is not talk. The genuine ones, they know their boundaries. The ones that don't know, you know, those ones that have powers they have not yet used, they are the ones that will be going to all kinds of places. They don't have anything. Do you get what I'm saying? So because they don't have anything, you know, they just be playing anyhow. They can't see anything. Now, I told you once, I went for a meeting, Full Gospel Businessmen Fellowship International meeting, long ago. This is what I'm telling you. No, I wasn't even married. I wasn't married, yes. It was long before I got married. Yes, certainly sometime before I got married. And a man was preaching. That is preaching, I've ever forgotten it. He grew up in a royal family in Benin City. He was in Ogboni, he was in all kinds of cults. And he wasn't a wicked man. That was the religion he knew. He wasn't trying to be wicked to anybody. He wasn't killing anybody. He was just living his life. And he was a chartered accountant. Those people who trained up those days in England as an accountant. And according to him, he said, when money was money, he had a million of the naira of that time, which was going for, you know, 75 kobo to the dollar. He said, I had over a million of it. That was like 1 point something million dollars. He said, I had money. He said, my God has been good to me. Except that his wife and the children, somewhere along the line, those ones were going to church. And again, he was not a wicked person. He just felt that, which one is this God that they are worshiping called Jesus? Okay, you know, people like that, they are usually polytheistic. So any God you bring, they go join. But he said, like, the ones I have, they are good enough. I don't need the one that they are using. So, but then since they like it, he left his wife and his kids alone to be going to church. There's only one problem. The wife and the kids did not leave him alone. They took his matter to God in prayer. Now, he wasn't bothering them, you understand? He was living his life normally. He said he had a room in his house that nobody entered. And they all knew, that is daddy's shrine. That's my husband's shrine. Nobody goes in. Nobody. So there are things there a woman can't touch, water can't touch. There are all kinds of things inside there. That was where he did his worship, did his sacrifices, all his etutu. You know what they call etutu? Who knows what the meaning of etutu? Okay, no meaning of etutu. All right, go and find out. Ask Google to tell you after what is etutu. That's what he did his etutu and stuff like that. He said one day he was sleeping. Now, why I'm telling the whole story is this. I like to get to this point. He said at 3 a.m. one day, he was sleeping in his room. Somebody woke him up. He woke up. He didn't see anybody, but he knew somebody woke him up. And the person told him to get up. So he got up. Go to that your room. He went there. He told him to pack all the gods he had, all the Shigidi, all the Osoni, all the Amadi. You get my point? All those things. You pack everything. He said he packed them, he said, into two traveling bags. So the person told him, yeah, now, to your car. He carried these two bags at 3 a.m., past 3 by this time, into his car. And the person told him to drive to a particular river in Benin at night. By this time, it was going to around 4 a.m. He said, he drove there on top of the bridge, told him to stop on the bridge. He stopped and told him to toss the two bags into the river. So he tossed the two bags into the water. And the person told him he could go home. And he turned his bag, his car. He said, he had not driven in years. He had a driver. That was one day he drove after many years. Now, you know I'm telling the whole story? It was that statement he made. So they said, okay, so in case you're wondering, you didn't see anybody, they are giving instructions and you're obeying. He said, in case you're wondering, he said, you see, and that's what I'm telling the story. He said, you see, if you have been in the occult, you will know when a power bigger than you is talking to you. He said, if you have been there, we know, you know, it's authority. It's authority. You just know. The man said he knew that whoever is talking to me is not my mate. It's somebody I cannot disobey. So he obeyed sheepishly. And he said these are the gods he had gathered all his life. Things he had had for decades. They were the source of protection for him and for his family, thought. They were the source of his wealth. They were the source of his confidence. Then one day, somebody told him, take them and throw them away. See, that's how he was moving naked for 6 months. He said one day he told him, he woke up. One day he stopped and talked to whoever. He said, you that took away all my powers. He said, you have left me naked. Nobody answered him. Nobody talked to him. 6 months later was when he finally got into a church. That they 6 months, he had no protection. Nobody helping him. 6 months. Part of the story is that statement he made. At that time, the man was 70 years old. When he was telling us the story. When it happened, he was in his 60s. Now he was 70. He was preaching at that dinner. Where am I going? You remember that what I told you? If you find a babalawo that's telling somebody to go and afflict a Christian, he's fake. Yes. If any man say he has juju and he comes to my door, know that I know immediately, he's fake. Or God has determined to destroy him. Because sometimes God will just make you blind. If I see you at my door, I won't be angry with you. I just look and say, I'll ask you, is your head correct? I just want to know. Are you all right? No, I want to know, are you all right? I like one video they did the other, you know, these kids they did. There was one priest, he was in his church compound in the village. He was sitting under the tree. Then he looked, suddenly one man appeared inside. Bam, bam, out of nowhere. The man said, what? He said, I came here to warn you. Let it today be the first and the last time, because he had gone to one village nearby to do evangelism. He said, it is your first time and your last time you step in my community to try and convert my people. Let me warn you, I will destroy you. So the priest was looking at him. After a while, he went down on his knees again. He crouched down so he could disappear. The priest was reading his Bible. He did it 3 times. The thing did not catch. Out of anger, he headed for the gate, only to discover that the priest had the gate locked. The gate was locked all the while. So he came back to the priest. Said, nah, I want to go. The priest said, you can go. He said, but the gate is locked. The guy said, how did you come? He said, I appeared. The guy said, disappeared. Disappeared now. But of course, his power has not working. Now, it's a skit, it's a joke, but you know, it tells us the reality about these things. So, when you are blind, you go to places where you don't have power to get away from. The man said, disappear now. Of course, he couldn't disappear. I can imagine the guy, said, if I'm the one, see, before you leave here, I must baptize you. You will shout it loud to the whole village that Jesus is Lord. Go home and go and testify that I came in here, my power stopped working. Now, this was part of the message, but I just remember the joke. It's so funny. One man went and met up with Bala, who said they wanted to do juju for money. So the man was doing all his rolling, counting things, was driving the incantation. Even I told the man, say, Baba, this money we're talking about, you know if this works, half na your own. Baba said, eh. He said, the money, you know how much it is? Say, how much? I can't remember. The guy said, maybe like $2 million. Baba said, $2 million? So half is my own. He dropped everything. He said, my son, come here. Kneel down, kneel down. He held his hand. He said, Father, in the name of Jesus. He said, this one. Now, Jesus will do this one. He said, my juju can't do this. What am I saying? See, if anybody tells you that he has power, listen, and is trying to afflict a Christian, either he's ignorant or he's fake. Those who really have, they know their distance. How do we get into that? Deliver us from evil. The evil he was talking about is what I'm trying to talk about. He said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from doing evil. That's what he said. Lead us not into temptation, but don't let us do that which is evil. When he asks for mercy, have mercy on me, O Lord. One major mercy Christians must ask for is mercy from doing evil. Look, I'm a preacher. I have to encourage you with some of my own practices. Sometimes I hear things that men do. Men do all kinds of things. Then sometimes I hear things that preachers do. Do you get? Now, I'm used to people do. I've heard all kinds of things all my life. I've been hearing stories. Except that recently I heard one. You know, it shocked me again. Because it's a preacher you see. I don't know him too much, but I hold him in high esteem because some things he says and the kind of places I see him preaching. Was I angry with him? See, let me just say, I didn't have his time to be angry. You know what I did? I went home to go and pray for me. We don't attend the same church. It's very unlikely he even knows my name or that I exist, unless he stumbled into my videos the way I've stumbled into his own. It's very unlikely he knows I exist. But when I heard, and what did I say? I said, Father God, I beg. It can't be said that everybody does it. I said, no, Lord, Father God, please. That is this is something that I'm extremely unlikely to do. The way I know myself, the way my mind works, the way my body works, the way my thoughts run. However, I didn't go that way. Because it's the one that thinks he stands, that should take heed lest he falls. One day, a friend of mine, he's a very good friend, even supports us in the ministry, works with us and all of that. Known him for a very long time. He lives in the U.S. One day, somewhere, people were talking and abusing preachers. All they are in it for is money. They know what? He listened to everybody talk. He said, well, maybe it's true. He said, but at least I know two. And I know what they are doing. They are not doing it for money. He called me and told me. He said, I mentioned your name. I mentioned Pastor Courage. He said, these two, I know them. He told his friends, they don't know also. This was in America. They sat down, people were talking. He said, okay, what do you guys say? I said, maybe it's true. He said, but I personally know two preachers. And I can beat my chest. They are not running ministry because they are looking for money. Sometimes I see such a thing. I say, God, you hear what he said? You see, I don't want to be in 10 years' time. I disgrace him. I don't want to be that in 10 years' time, I will disgrace him. You see, he had just bragged. Staked his integrity on my conduct. If you think I went and said, huh, at least we are different. No, I don't say such things. It is him that thinks he stands that's supposed to take heed. So one day I read in Acts chapter 20 that Paul was leaving Ephesus. And he said boldly to them, same thing Samuel said. Samuel said, if I ever took anything from anybody, put up your hand now and say it. Pastor told me, he said something. He came to Benin, so he spoke in my convention. Gave him he visited us, and we spoke for about an hour. Somebody was saying, everybody in Nigeria is corrupt. What government official is corrupt, corrupt, corrupt? He said, yeah, he worked Shagari's government. He was a young man that time. He worked Shagari's government. Shagari's government was 1793. He said, I can stand on the top of the Z Empire State Building and put up my hand. Let anybody that can say that he's ever given me $10 should come out and talk. Bribe me with $10. He said, let them come out and talk. How did Jesus effect it? The Bible said he went to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So when David said, have mercy on me, you should know the first place you call for mercy. When he said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from doing evil, was what he said. Not from evil happening to us. You must understand, for the child of God, doing evil is more deadly than evil happening to you. If somebody killed you in persecution for the gospel, no strange thing has happened. No strange thing has happened. If you deny the Lord, when they point a gun at your head, a horrible thing has happened. Heaven has been embarrassed. There's a lot of work of redemption. Now, they put a gun to your head, though, for you to know the kind of thing that God does in that dimension. I've given the testimony here. It's a lady I've met the family. She was walking on the road. Suddenly, she heard the voice of the Holy Spirit say, don't worry, I will take care of your father. What would you have expected? The father will be delivered from death, delivered from this. Next thing she heard, the father was dead. No, not she didn't hear. They put a phone. I found out that one later. True to the family. Why they killed the man. They killed him on the phone. They put their sharp knife. This, you know, terrorist. They put a sharp knife to his neck. It was a clergyman. And started cutting it. And told him to deny Jesus and they will stop. And he told them flat that he could not do it. And they cut the neck until he died. And the Holy Spirit just said, don't worry, I will take care of him. No, it's not. If you want, I sit down, I open my phone, I'll point. This is the lady I'm talking about. This is her younger brother. This is the other. I'll point them out to you on my phone. There are people I've met. What would you have thought? I will take care of your father. What God meant is his faith is more important to me than his neck. I said I will take care of him. I did. I said I would take care of him. I did. Lord, how do you mean? He did not deny me. I removed the ability to deny me from him. I removed fear from his heart. I put the vision like of Stephen in his front. They wondered, why would he be so bold? His God must be real. That one thing is sure, those Islamic terrorists left there knowing that people die for Christ. Yes, many of us are more concerned about, living for Christ is good, though. Dying for Christ is the same thing. Paul said, whether it's by living or by dying, the most important thing is that we are pleasing to him. Concerning Peter, what was said? Said, this he said to tell him by which manner of death he will glorify God. Are you trying to say that God could not have delivered Paul? Let me tell you, Paul's deliverance was a regular thing. The one in Ephesus, after the letter to the Philippians, after a reason and reason, he said, if you guys keep on, now listen, what Paul says was simple. He said, I think there's work to do. And if you guys are open and desirous of my ministry, you will pray to God and I will be released to you. You didn't have any doubt. Go and read it. In Philippians chapter 2. That's what I was talking about. This is chapter 2 of chapter 1. When he was talking about to live is Christ and to die is gain. For him, it made no difference whether he lived or he died. Apart from the effect it will have in the lives of people, God could have kept Paul alive. But Paul knew it wasn't going to happen. So he knew ahead. He wrote to Timothy, the time has come that I'll be offered up. So let me tell you, I have finished my course. I have fought the fight. And most importantly, I have kept the faith. That was why once I thought about it and I actually prayed about it. Because being young and wanting to live life, you know, that kind of thing. He didn't want to die yet. I wondered, Lord, 12 disciples of Jesus Christ, every single one minus John, died in a persecutory way. You like my expression? Thomas died in India. If you go to India, till now, they will show you the tomb of Thomas 2,000 years after. They will show it to you. They killed him. We know the story of Peter. Not in the Bible, just like Thomas was not in the Bible, was crucified upside down. We know the story of Paul. They removed his head. They guillotined his head. There was no, you know, James, Herod killed that one. At least that one is in the Bible. That one's written clearly for us in the scriptures. The first one to go, Herod killed him by the sword. That's how we found out that all of them died. So I said, okay, Lord, what is it with you? I mean, what's wrong with dying in your bed? Do you follow my point? After that's how Abraham died. That's how Jacob died. Was that not what our brother Jonathan was saying just now? Was that not how Jacob died? After that, he breathed his last and was gathered unto his fathers. This one's they gathered pieces of them unto the Lord. Stephen, though not one of the 12, we saw how he was killed. And so many, and I wondered, Lord, what is it with you and this killing of these people? Now, I believe, after thinking for a long time, I finally got an answer. I believe it was by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are many things occurring there. One of them is that all of them finished what God had for them to do. But why did God choose their exit in such a tragic way or violent way? You know the understanding I had? It was part of watering the earth, for sure. All right, with the blood of the saints, but also a sign that what they said was true. Because each time it was as if they dared them to die for this gospel. Do you get my point?
Yes, sir.
And by dying for it, they sealed it that it is true. The Bible says they rejected, using the words of Paul in Hebrews chapter 11, they rejected deliverance that they might gain a better resurrection. You must understand, at that point in time, it didn't matter to them. No, it didn't matter to them. I'm older now, eh? Of course, I'm older than I was 5 years ago, than I was 10 years ago. The opinion I have of life 25 years ago is not the same now. In my opinion, my faith is stronger. Listen to this clearly. I have less attachment to this earth now than I had those days. Now, I'll tell you the truth. I live only for purpose. Yeah. Why do I want to remain alive? I have a list of why for the Lord. And when all of them is checked out and is gone, I wouldn't bother. Who wants to live on this earth? This world doesn't seem to make any sense anymore. America is doing things I never believed will come out of America. No. There's not. See, to be honest with you, for me now, this earth is about purpose. We do what we have to do. And without doubt, I believe in two things, all right? One, I believe in heaven. Two, because Paul said, we will depart and be with the Lord, which is better. I believe it 100%. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. Jesus said, if it were not so, I would not have told you. That's one. I believe in heaven. Number two, I believe 100% in the resurrection of the saints. And because of these two things, what is on this earth? What is on this earth? Me, my prayer is for to experience the power of the age to come. There's an age to come. There is an age to come. There is an age to come. That's what we are praying for, to experience the power of that age. Ah, no, 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 no. I can't join Father God in heaven. Have mercy on me. Join the struggle for naira and dollar. No. We are talking about the power of the age to come. There is an age to come. And that's the issue. Look, let me tell you, you think Peter and Co were afraid of dying? No, they were not. You know why I think so? One of the reasons. The night before they were planning to execute Peter, the angel had to beat him to wake up. You don't understand? Tomorrow is your execution. The man that came to deliver you is striking you. Oh boy, get up, get up. Say, he had to strike Peter to wake him up. Say, Peter, come, let's go. Where are we going? He followed the angel out, walked down the street. When they got to the particular gate, he now knocked the door. That's when Peter now woke up. Say, this thing is actually, he was sleeping so deeply, he thought it was still a dream. I can assure you of one thing. See, you don't understand. If you have seen the resurrected Christ, this earth will be boring. Listen. And this is the same Christ that told you, I'm coming back to collect you. This earth will be boring. And the things that he said to Paul, we know Peter and Co also knew those things. When he said that the dead in Christ shall rise first. So when you die, the man knows that you go, so what's all of this? What's all of this? After all, at that time, he was expecting Jesus Christ to return quickly. You know, when you think that the greatest thing in life is to have lift inside your house, that's why you don't want to die. Yes. You know, the house you enter, one of our brothers, I like the way he reacted to his own. He called me one day, he said, sir, I was in England. I went to Queen's Garden. Then Queen Elizabeth was still there. Now it will be the King's Garden. He said, sir, this heaven, we must go into. I said, we must go heaven. He said, if earth can be this fine, I just want to see what heaven is like. No, that was all. He said, he entered a garden. It was so beautiful. He asked him, this is earth. He called me and said, sir, I think we have to go to heaven. He said, this one will not sin. Anything that will not let us go to heaven, we are not doing it. He said, I want to go and see the garden that the Lord planted in heaven. If on earth, human beings can have this kind of garden. See, I went into all of this, trying to point out something. First, let me take us back to where we began. I was explaining that deliver us from evil. It means we will not do evil. That's the thing. It is not that evil should not happen to us. And I went into all of this trying to explain something, using an illustration. That when God said, I will take care of a person, and the first thing God takes care of in that person is the faith of that individual. So he looked at Peter. I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. That was what was most important. I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. It's not that I have prayed for you that you have more money. I don't pray for ourselves this year. My faith will not only not fail, it will increase. Listen, we're talking about prayer. That's what I'm explaining. I don't wake up in the morning and the devil is our fighter. No. You won't take my money. You won't take my this. You won't take my promotion this year. You know, people actually believe some nonsense. I'm sorry to say it's nonsense. That where they buried your promotion. Who is they? Your problem is that you have not yet, you know, the African mindset, which is the part of it I hate most. Somebody must be responsible. Who is doing this to me? You are going on the road. You have a flat tire. Who is doing this to me? You get home. You have fever. Who is doing this to me? Your son is having diarrhea and vomit. Who is doing? Let me tell you who did the flat tire. It's age. The tire was old. It don't expire. Do you know why you have malaria? You're stressed. You have not been resting. You know why your child has diarrhea and vomiting? Because it's a child. They get it once in a while. It will get well. Nobody is doing anything to you. You know the truth? Nobody has your time. They don't have. They have their own problems. Afflicting you will not make them prosper. You know, that African mindset, I want you to stop it as a Christian. Know that nobody can. Let's start with that. Nobody can. Nobody can. There's no day that can withhold. No, you know, one day I saw, that thing, it pained me. Let me tell you something. Let me give you an instruction this year. I know some of you like to join early morning online prayer. Is that okay? It's okay. Maybe that means starting one. I don't know. You can join. Okay, but if you start one, I don't know. You can join. But let me give you my own commandment. For every 5 minutes you spend shouting, amen, 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 you must spend 10 minutes studying the scriptures and reciting it out loud. I'm not saying don't join. If you like, spend 20 minutes there. Just know you are owing God 40 minutes of study and declaring scripture. Reading books is allowed, though. It's part of it. I don't mean mathematics and physics. I mean how to be led by the Spirit of God, the second coming of Christ, the redemption that is in. No, things, studying the scriptures is allowed. But for every 15 minutes you spend shouting, there's no problem. Just time it. When you're done with 15 minutes of that, just know you are owing how many? 30 minutes. That's how your life will increase in 2026. Do you know, because I heard one thing one day. People were talking online. He said, can you believe? And some of you hear those stories, and they move you. First, they are lies. See, there are two kinds of lies. Okay, now let me ask you a question. Have you ever said the devil is a liar? No. Have you ever said the devil is a liar?
Yes, sir.
Do you know the devil hardly says things that are not factually correct? You call him a liar. But how many things has he ever said that's not factually correct? The day you eat of it, you become like God. And you'll be wise, knowing good and evil. What did God himself say? Seeing that man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. So what did the devil say there? Now that's not correct. Yet you are calling that guy who has accurate record a liar. He has told more factual truths than you. Yet you call the guy a liar. No, tell me something he said that's not true. So I want you to understand there are two kinds of lies. The fact that you are speaking facts does not mean you are not telling lies. The devil is a liar even when he's speaking facts, what appears like facts. Why? Because having stated the facts, he brings an impression to your heart which is erroneous. For example, he says he will give his angels charge concerning you so that you will not dash your foot against a stone, knowing fully well that if you jumped, you would die. Why? Because the scripture does not apply to those who tempt God. So he uses the truth. No, I don't want to use the word truth. He uses the fact to lead you into disobedience, thereby converting everything he says to a lie. Because if he ends in disobedience, it's a lie. And that's why God equated prophets who give false prophecies with those who give true prophecies and who lead people to worship of idols. God says, stone both of them. He said, if a prophet tells you this is what God wants to do, he said, if I don't do it, stone him. He said, if I do it, if what he says comes to pass accurately, but he now leads you to worship of idols, stone him too. So fact or not fact, what is the result of it? So when he says to Eve and Adam, indirectly, you will become like God, knowing good and evil. Fact was correct. At the end of it, the very thing God said they should not do, they did. He said, you will not surely die. The next 900 years, they were still alive. Yeah. Fact. But there's a kind of death the experience he did not explain, which was alienation from God. So that's a small aside. Let me now explain why I brought them. When I said all things that they say is a lie. So you know there are two kinds of lies. Now I've told you one, which appears like fact, but actually a lie. But it's a kind of one that's just lie. Fact is not correct. Effect, disobedience. Now, let me not go down to that. When they tell you, like I saw somebody, he said, a girl was in the office. Do you know they exchanged her destiny with that of her neighbor? And I'm looking at the pastor, like, did you really say that? So what did you now do about it? Which kind of prayer did you pray? to re-exchange the exchange destiny. I was wondering, and people were, oh, you know the way man will, their bodies will be like, wow. I remember one, I saw one pastor one day. His damn his friend. Richard John, the guy looks more like you though. It's not you. You're not related. The man told me something. And please, brethren, it's a lie. All these things here. The Bible says, but he lied to him. They lied to also. You know what this man told me? I was watching. He was preaching. That one day he entered the plane. Anyway, make a long story short. He met a man on a flight. And the man was saying that, if you had known me the way I was before, that I didn't used to enter commercial planes. I always flew private. Now, the man is still wealthy enough to be flying only business class and local flights, and likely first class international. The man said, I didn't have time for commercial. I was a private man. What happened? He said that they went to bury his mother. And then, when they were burying the mother, that his shoe mistakenly fell. I think, is it his shoe or he himself? I don't know who fell into the grave. I think it's his shoe. And that was where they buried his destiny. So your shoe fell into your mother's grave, and then they buried your destiny. And the whole church said, ooh! Now, some people will not go for their mother's funeral because they want to bury their destiny. They don't have any destiny to bury, by the way, but they still won't go. First, let me tell you, that Jesus that guy gave, you don't know who it is. I'm fairly certain, fairly, it's just fair, that is the whole thing is fabu. You know what they call fabu?
Yes.
You know? Please tell them fabu in modern English. Eh? This Jonathan is a man of God. He said, tales by moonlight. First, I think it's fabu. But let us even assume, because Africans can do strange things. Assume it's not fabu. You want to hear the truth? That was not where they buried his destiny. You know when they buried his destiny? When he took another man's wife. That was when the destiny was buried. When, being a rich man, he went to a campus, took a 19-year-old girl and dazzled her till she lost her brain with money. That was when his destiny was buried. When he saw a girl that was supposed to wed in a month, beautiful girl, and he chased her, and the girl said, ah, Oga, I'm engaged. In fact, my wedding is supposed to be next month. He said, forget that thing. He used his money to destroy that project. One guy told me about one man. Won't mention it, I won't give you an idea. He said, he chased one girl. You know, when some of you small boys want to chase girls, you go and buy, a Redmi. I've been a Techno. This guy, to show he was interested, gave her £20,000. She left her fiancé that spent money to send her to UK. She was, just to show the girl he was interested, £20,000. See, there are things you do. God will say, by myself I have sworn, it shall never be well with you. Oh, you think it's only blessing? God blesses people. We're still recording this morning, and we read from, is it 1 Samuel chapter 2? When I saw the curse that God laid upon the house of Eli, said the best of your youth will die in their prime. He said, old man, for what? He said, if anybody lives long, there is to show that he's been leprous, he will have a discharge, he will be sick. So otherwise, they will not ever live long. He said, I will let you live so that you can go and beg for bread from an anointed servant. No, don't try God, though. He said, people, they fear devil, they never see problem. If you want to see problem, go and meet God. Our God, please destroy somebody just so we can learn. When God wants to shake people, you know, I read the curse he placed on the house of Eli. Now, fear catch me. So let me prove to you what I'm saying is true. You know how he proved it? He said, your two sons, the same day they shall die. To prove what he will do later. That was not the curse, though. That was proof.
I've told people, fear God. If you want to fear a person, Jesus said himself, don't fear the person who can kill physically.
When they bury his destinies, they should leave that thing. It's not graveyard where you drop shoe.
Enter the grave, tell the people burying the car. Wait, my shoe is inside there. Collect it in, shake the dust. Wear your shoe back.
Because, you know, I get upset when I see preachers, you know, highlight and tell these lying stories. And I told there are two kinds of lies. Some of them are fabricated. Others, even though they may have happened, they're not true. Fact, right? But true. Like the one that was saying that they exchanged the girl. They were in the same office. So they just, now coffee. When they go there, they just exchange because you started with me in the office. I say it is simple. You know, if you know the kind of iniquity people do, there are women who arrange girlfriends, and listen to this, boyfriends for their husband.
Yes.
You hear what I said? Girlfriends and what? Boyfriends for their husband. And some people are so stupid. Go and read my book, Worship and Sex Control. They don't understand that some of these things are not free. So I said, if that thing that man said happened, then the girl whose destiny was taken and the one whose it was swapped with, they should ask themselves, what did they exchange? They must have exchanged something. Please read my book, Worship and Sex Control. One of the ways by which they exchange things is sexual immorality. I feel sorry for pastors who are lagri for a woman come church, come they tease you, and you agree to be teased. Thunder firing you is the smallest of your problems. Let me tell you, they have capped your anointing. That's what they are doing. One, they have recruited your grace for the kingdom of darkness. Yes. Your grace is being recruited. You see, witch can come while I'm sleeping and do, nothing will happen. Nothing. The power doesn't work like that. I can't be eating normal food. You now put something inside. You've seen them in film before. Saturday the man ate it. He was not loving the girl. He says, lie. You were loving the girl before. There's nothing that enters your mouth that defiles you. Other things have gone on before that point. I see them all the time. Preachers are out there telling fantastic stories. Fabulous stories. Fabulous stories. Tales by moonlight. Say, you need to pray. Why? Because there was one girl. I said, which one girl now? She did not move forward because her mother was... You didn't tell us the whole story of the one girl. Remember the story I told you guys, I was in Port Harcourt. I finished preaching, I said, witch cannot kill a Christian. Woman came to me after. He said, Pastor, that thing you said, I don't agree. First, for you to be telling me you don't agree, you don't understand that things you shouldn't say. Because I don't care. I don't know you. You're not my teacher. You don't agree. That's your problem, not mine. You can come and ask me questions. But she said, witch killed my husband. I gave it to her straight. I said, your husband was not born again. And I said, actually, what are you actually not telling me now? A witch killed your husband. That will not change the scriptures. And the witch, my mama. Yes. The witch that killed her husband is his mother. Please forget all the stories you watch that are in the coven. They have already agreed that she's the one is the one they will eat next. It's not true. See, you know, I've told you. What happens is that some of those guys are very wicked. Let me tell you how witching mothers kill their sons without knowing. Now, witchcraft is not every witchcraft that you have to join a coven to practice. Do you get my point? Yeah, there's witchcraft that you don't even know you're a witch and you are controlling things. In many churches, there are so many witches. They are manipulative. They are temptresses. I use the word temptress because I want to talk about the men. A temptress will be tempting you and you agree to be tempted. You are the one donating yourself to witchcraft. That's how she wake you up at 12 midnight. You suddenly go and pee so you can lock the toilet. Agbaya. No, they call Agbaya. You know? What's the English word for Agbaya? Okay. This guy is anointed today. He said big fool.
What am I trying to say? See, eh? That's witchcraft, that the witch does not even know she's a witch. She just has some bad behaviors, but Satan is using her. But it's another kind of witch, eh? That they don't even know they are doing bad. They are just crying. And that's the one that is righteous. You need to deliver yourself by good behavior. Some of those mothers, they don't even know. And please, let me just explain this to you. Husbands, wives, parents, even children, make sure you are never an accuser of your loved one.
Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Don't report them to God. If you ever go to God for on their matter, ask for mercy. Even if you are frustrated, your wife is doing something you don't like, your husband is behaving the way you don't like, you have to go there and ask for mercy. Because if you go only with complaining, the judge will hear it and pass judgment. And that judgment can be dangerous. That's why any day you are praying, eh? Pray for mercy for your loved one. Even though they are offending you. One day, one sister told me about all the evil her brother had done. No family issue. These are big people. When she finished telling me the evil this man had done, eh? Let me just tell you what I did first before I tell you what I really did. This one is in my mind. I just went to the guy in my mind, held him by the throat and squeezed the throat until his neck broke, and I cut his arms and his legs and I took the pieces of him and burnt it in hellfire. That's how much I thought he deserved. But do you know what I said to her? I said, "Dear child of God, it appears to me you are the only person remaining praying for this guy. The evil he has done is so much. The little I know, heaven will soon unleash on him." I said, "Do not stop interceding. Do not stop praying for mercy. Because the day you stop, you'll be shocked. The way it appears to me, nobody is doing it." I allowed my own feeling to stay behind. But this was what I counseled. Don't even go and say, "God, the one my wife is doing now, I don't understand. Ah, God, I'm just tired in this house." That woman will fall sick. And you will have been the cause. You will be the cause. Anytime you approach the throne of God concerning your loved one, please, don't ever forget to pray for mercy. Even if your heart is pained, many people make their mothers cry justly against them. And that is the job of false prophets. Let me say it to you again, in case you have not heard me say it before. When they tell you your mother is a witch, you are going to die fast too, the way you are going. The false prophet that's speaking your mother as a witch had better tell you how to inactivate her witchcraft so that you can live long. And it is not the way he's teaching you now, in which you will remove the money you were giving her so you can give him. By the way, have you noticed that he's the one that collects the money now? The tales by moonlight that they tell. There was one woman, she used to take her son's money to the coven. Remember, it's one of two types of lies. What are the two types? First, absolute fabulous, fabricated tales by moonlight. It didn't happen. Or maybe it happened, but what is the result in our lives? We will now be disobedience. We will now be afraid of our own mothers. And we'll be breaking now. Now you will now be breaking the law of God, which will make you culpable before his throne. Because the one that drives away his mother and does not listen to his father, the Bible says his lamp will go out in the time of darkness. The scripture. So when a witch tells you to let it happen to you, he has just extinguished your light in the time of darkness. When a prophet helps you to do that. How do those women become witches? Without knowing, remember I was saying that? It's when, without realizing it, they cry in hunger, in pain. They are broke. And yet the son, they know he has money. And
See, let me just tell you something here. Don't marry a man that doesn't go to church. Don't marry a woman that doesn't go to church. Oh, but you hear? No. Is it because it's in junior secondary school people are laughing? He will soon grow up. You see, before you know what's happening, he will be a university graduate. And this thing I'm telling him now, train up a child in the way he should go. He won't forget. In another 10 years, he will, you know that stupid thing we call falling in love? He will experience it. Then he will discover that the woman doesn't go to church. Then he'll say, Pastor Banky said. He won't forget. So he can be laughing now, but I know I'm doing the work of God. Don't marry somebody who's not sitting down to learn the word of God. It's important. Because they are the ones that will help you to disobey God. You know what I've noticed about a lot of women? I'm sorry, ladies, I have nothing against you, but you are more common in these places. Look, see, how many prophets, how many men do you go to prophets' houses? For every one man you see like six women. Is it not true? Okay, you men, don't even answer. Women, is it not true? Good. See, the women all said it is true. So don't say it is me that said it. It is them that saw it. Have you noticed most women who go to those places, they can't sit down to hear the word of God? No, they can't. Damn, tell them, you are doing a problem. They can't sit down. They can't sit down. It's almost like a demonic problem. They can't sit down. But when they go to a place where somebody is saying, the witch, their whole body will come alive. And they'll not be praying. Sometimes when I'm watching those prayers, I look at God like this. Baba God, what do you think about these things? Are you listening to them? You know what God is saying? They are not saying anything. I mean, it's not like they listen to what? Maybe it's people who are talking. You can listen. They are not saying anything. After all, they say, die. Does that sound like prayer to even you listening to it? That spiritual fight amongst two ignorant people. Die. That's not prayer. That's what I'm telling you. I have never seen anybody who goes to such a place who has the patience to listen to the teaching of the word. And they are the ones that are totally misguided. They are the ones that will help the husband plot who not to give money to because they can take the money to the shrine. At least let somebody in the house have. I mean, even if you are forgotten, it's good that your wife went and heard the truth. That's the point I'm making, because you see, ignorance keeps people in bondage. The way by which people can be delivered a lot of times is the generosity of their heart towards their own parents. Yet, the evil spirit that wants to destroy them, that is the very thing it attacks. And they will see those, their lying visions. Remember those lying visions? Two things make the visions false. Either they did not happen at all, or what is the consequence of what you are telling us happened? They don't happen most of the time. I told you, see, one brother was telling me the other day how his parents didn't let him marry because prophets were always saying, this is not the girl. I forgot to tell him the story, but he had already married, so the story was no longer necessary. But our brother here, no need to mention his name. He wanted to marry. The wife's parents went to the prophet. Give me two of your names. Eh? And then two, I want to. Kenechuku. No, your surname. I don't want your surname. Kevin and Kenechuku. So, the girl went there. The parents said, okay, what is his name? She said, Kenechuku. Ah. So they went and prayed. Prophet's prayer said, Kene. Elijah, Jaja said, no, Kene not Chuku for here. No. This is not Kene. No, it's not the one. So what she did? The girl went back and gave them the name of another man that wants to marry her. This time around, his name is Kelvin. The same person. The prophets prayed and said, this is the one. He said, no problem. It really happened. What I'm telling you really happened. The Egbon that happened to is not around this today. He normally sits around here. You all know him. They just played. What does that tell you? The prophets were lying. They were lying. It was the Kenechuku that was the problem. They said, where is he from? He said, Kenechuku. He must be from Biafra. Say, we don't. Do you get it? They prayed and their spirit said no. So they said, no problem, let me bring somebody from America. What is it? Kelvin. Ah, this must be not Trump's cousin. Meanwhile, it was the same person. What does that tell you? Lies. Lies. They lie. They lie. But even if though they saw a real vision and they told you your mother is a witch. Now, I don't want to say maybe she's a witch or not, but they really saw a vision. They didn't fabricate it. Don't forget there are different types of lies. There are different types of visions. Micaiah saw the vision of the vision. You know that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
In his own vision, he saw how the other prophets got their vision. He said it was a lying spirit that was sent into the mouth of all the prophets. How you test whether the spirit is lying or is not lying, we're back to it. What is it commanding us to do? What is it commanding us to do? Is the vision commanding us to disobey God? In which Jesus warned us that when the Bible says, when God gave the commandment to Moses based on an eternal principle, reiterated in the New Testament, that thou shalt honor your father and your mother, Jesus interpreted it for us. He said, honor is not just to bow or to speak well of. Honor is to communicate material things. How did I know? He said, you make the word of God of no effect. Which word? Honor your father and your mother. By saying what I could have given to my father has been corbanned. He said, you make the word of God of no effect by your traditions. What does that tell you? Honor in that context was not talking about bowing and speaking well of alone. And you're using respectful words and intonation when you speak. The Lord made it clear. It had to do with communicating good things. Therefore, if a prophet is able to prevent you from giving to your parents, he has sealed your destiny negatively. Yeah. Because by that, they will have activated a curse through disobedience. And Satan knows. He knows that curses are activated through disobedience. So what he does is to entice people to disobey. God knows the day you eat of it, you become wise and you will be like God. It's inconsequential whether she will really truly become like God, able to know good from evil. It's inconsequential. What is of any consequence here is the fact that she entered through the gate of unrighteousness, the gate of disobedience. Will you get what Satan is saying you will get? It doesn't matter. You disobeyed God to get it. That's what matters. You can't disobey God into deliverance. That's what I'm saying. Your mother-in-law is a witch, so how do you do? She's sick, you don't visit. I don't want to seem like I'm speaking bad things. It's one of the worst things you can do to your destiny. You have a sick parent and you don't visit. Yeah, I'm afraid for you. I want to hide lest I mistakenly get a small bit of the flack that will come against you because of that. Jesus said, I was sick and you visited me. And you don't even know me. Now this one is your own parent, your father-in-law, your mother-in-law, because of one prophet that's guaranteed to die and go to hell. You want to follow him? To the hell, prepare for the devil and what? His angels, his messengers. Please, even if she's a witch, she's on a sick bed, you must visit. You must pay the doctor. You must bring money, gifts, and listen, you don't have to talk to her. But it cannot happen. You can't let it go on heaven's record that your own mother or mother-in-law is sick and you cannot visit. Read your Bible. True religion is to visit the sick, James said. Ah? He said, this is the fast I have chosen, that you don't hide yourself from your flesh. Didn't you read Isaiah say that? People are fasting up. She will be listening to this.
You can laugh. Oh. She knows I'm talking to her. One of her sisters. I saw her in her status. Fast, you break with tomato. Fast, you break with fruit. Fast, you break water. I said, is it a Hindu that taught you this or a Buddhist? I said, what did God say about the real fast? What did God say about the real fast? What did he say? He said, this is the fast I have chosen. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them and do not hide from relatives who need your help. That's what God said. I'm not quoting something that I made up. I just quoted for you Isaiah chapter 58, verses 6 and 7. A prophet will not command you to hide from your relatives who need your help. That is his trick. He's a messenger of Satan. That's the trick he's using to keep you in bondage. Please, I see this in these days. This glorifying witchcraft and the fear thereof. And I'm giving you a commandment by the Spirit of God. If your mother is a witch, go and greet her. She can't do you anything. If you don't greet her, she will die because of your negligence. Then your case is permanently sealed before God. You're a wicked soul. He said, hey, God knew that what? You were afraid. The cowardly, the fearful have their portion in the lake that burns with fire. So what excuse do you want to give him? That the one that is in you is now smaller than he that is in the world. So what do you want to tell the Lord is your excuse? It is better to crawl there and say, God, if she will kill me, let her kill me. It cannot be said that because of fear, I did not go. And let me tell you the truth. If that woman is dying and she blesses you, you're blessed. And if she dies without blessing you, let me not say more than that. Before they say this pastor is too hard. You know what they said about me? My name, they don't spoil her from some circle. See? Pastor Banky. It's very hard though. They want soft pastor. I am not one of them. See, people sometimes they say that some of us are hard. Even Elder John, seriously, they say that his message is too hard. I said, it is those who are preaching a hard message, they are the ones helping you. You know what Jesus said? They've healed the heart, that's the prophet. They've healed the heart of the daughters of my people slightly or superficially by saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. What's the point I made? I said the hard people, they are the ones who are saving your lives. They are the ones telling you the truth. They are the ones helping you obey God. Anybody who uses fear to create disobedience in your life, be wary of such a person. It's not helping you. Anybody that brings the fear of witches, the fear of the devil into your life is not helping you. When they make you disobey God, they are making you hide yourself from your flesh, the Bible says. From not just your relatives now, for your own parents that need help. They are not helping you. They are sending you into what? Bondage. They are the ones really that you should be afraid of. They are the ones you should keep away from. I keep on saying this, saying Christ Jesus, we are free. What did I say?
In Christ Jesus, we are free.
Let's say it again.
In Christ Jesus, we are free.
Personalize it.
In Christ Jesus, I am free.
Say that one again.
In Christ Jesus, I am free.
One more time.
In Christ Jesus, I am free.
It's very important you understand that. Well, what I wanted us to teach and pray about, see, we can leave that to next time, right? We can. But the reason why I read this, okay, we'll read it again next time. And hopefully we'll be able to continue praying along those lines. I was trying to say here, we are not afraid of the devil. When it says deliver us from evil, the concern is that we must do no evil. The concern is what?
That we
must do no evil. So what do we use prayer for? Which is why we read that at the beginning. We'll read it again next time and we'll take time out to pray with it. When he was asking God for mercy, is to use to keep ourselves pure. These days, people spend so much time praying against evil outside, when the main problem that will afflict them is evil inside. And this evil inside, which is what we're talking about now, which is susceptibility to the temptations of the devil, has to be cured by prayer. It's cured by personal supplication, which is why we read from that Psalm 51 to start with. What did David say? He said, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion." He said, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." He said, "I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me." Now he said that in verse 6, "You desire truth in the innermost being." He said, "Purify me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me, I shall be whiter than snow." Of course, we know hyssop was used to sprinkle the blood of the sacrificial lamb on the people and on the items. So that for us is a sign of what the blood of Jesus is doing in us. He said, "Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." And what is he doing? He is purifying us how? With the washing of water by the word. Yes. So constantly. And what does the word do? It is the way by which he transmits his spirit into us to purify us. The word of God is transmitting the spirit of God into us to purify us. He said, "Create in me by this a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." This is the prayer point that we must all have as believers. That our desire, we said it this year, what we are focusing on is what? Becoming Christians indeed. Nathanael is our example. The Lord Jesus said, "An Israelite indeed, a true Israelite, a man of complete integrity." If you read King James, say, "In whom there is no guile." New American says, "In whom there is no deceit." But there's none like the New Living Translation. It says, "A man of complete integrity." And that's what we are going for. Let me say it again. Nobody achieves this thing by his own strength. Let me conclude with this. You cannot achieve this by your own strength. God has helped me to learn this. There are things I don't even think I have a natural, there are things you have a natural tendency for. There are many things I hear people do, I don't have the natural tendency. I don't have an experience. I don't have history along those lines. Yet, you know, they have a saying in Western Nigeria. He said, when you have not seen war, you call yourself a man. Yes. Literally, it says, the one that the battle has not met, says he's a man. That's why President Obasanjo, I think it was Tore Reverend, was quoting from me at that time. Okay, we traveled together on Sunday. He was quoting from me that the former president, Obasanjo, said, "When he's supposed to say war," he said, "they've never been to war." Say, "There's nobody that has been to war that prays for it." I am Mike Tyson said, "Everybody has a plan until you get punched in the face." What am I going to say? There are things you feel that, "Me, I know they do like this." Me, no, I've learned you don't say that. Because you have, you will be in a situation which you did not know that that kind of situation existed. Yes. And God doesn't really take that as an excuse. That's why I gave a commandment. What you call an explanation or a justification, he calls it a temptation that you fell for. So, what I do is, I said, "This is what they say people do. Me, I go to prayer." And I explain to God why it cannot be said that I did it, that also. I explain to him, and to be truth, the truth is this. I usually put my own personal matter behind. It's for his name's sake. Is that not what the Bible says?
Yes, sir.
For his name's sake. For his name's sake. He keeps us for his name's sake. He blesses us for his name's sake. Keeps us from evil for his own name's sake. I said, "God, you know," I said, "Dear Lord, you know, I've lived for a while now, all right, for some years. I've now reached a point now that I can say, for most of my adult life, I've been known as a preacher." Do you get my point? For most of my adult life, I'm known as a preacher. So I said, "Lord, this should not be named amongst preachers for your name's sake." He that thinks he stands should do what? Take heed. Where I'm going is that the Bible makes it clear to us. Nobody stands by his or her own power. That's where I'm going.
the Spirit enters into us and sets us on our feet. Daniel, Mishael, Azariah, and Ananiah, those four people did not stand by their own strength. When they took three of them and faced the fiery furnace, we saw how many men in the fire. Four. That fourth one, like they said, he has the appearance of the son of the gods. And that's what they understood. It's a spiritual being. That was the person that did not allow them bow. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
That was the person that did not allow them to bow. That was the embodiment of the spirit that God sent to set them on their feet. If you are going to school, everybody say, everybody cheating the exam. Listen, it's prayer you use to handle it. You are going to a place in life where you can easily use your authority and manipulate it for power, for financial gain. When you see it, you see, there's something the Bible says. We'll talk about this again next time. Let's just exhort ourselves with this today. Next time, we'll come back to pray. You know this scripture we quote in Ecclesiastes? He that breaks a hedge, he that fells a tree, shall be injured by it, and he that breaks a hedge. Have you heard the way we preach? We use it to pray in church. The Bible says, he that breaks a hedge, the serpent shall bite him. Relax, that's not what the Bible meant. We'll now begin to pray. Whoever has broken the hedge in your life, let the serpent begin to bite. We pray all kinds of prayer points. What Solomon was saying, we taught it that, and you can go and listen to our series on Ecclesiastes. What Solomon was saying is that every job has a risk. If you are somebody whose job is to break down walls, that is where serpents hide. Your risk is that a serpent will come out and bite you. So you must take precaution. He said, what is the advantage to the charmer if the serpent has already beaten him? So you must take precaution. That's what Solomon was saying. He that cleaves wood shall be hurt by it. People who are in their homes, falling trees usually is not their problem. It's people who say that they are lumberjacks. So you are supposed to take precaution when there is something that's a risk of your profession. And as Christians, how do we take our precaution? With prayer. Are you getting my point? For example, you are going into politics. They've appointed you a big position. Ask yourself, what is the major problem in this country? We say it's corruption. See, let me not start talking politics now. A lot of people that were arrested and charged for corruption did not even know they were corrupt. There was nothing they did that their neighbor did not do. Because we are talking, we don't have to go home. When I see the way people move, one day there was one particular INEC state, is it chairperson they call, you know those people that couldn't, REC, yes, returning officer, thank you. The returning officer disappeared and said this election is wrong. This result that they announced was wrong. Do you remember? Those of you know what I'm talking about. And if you don't get it, just forget about it. But let's just remember. Just remember. This wreck disappeared. A few days later, reappeared. And said, no, this result is correct. And I was talking to somebody who was a politician. He said, I know these people. He said, this person obviously tried to stand on his integrity. He said, I know the kind of thing they do. They give you the carrot and the stick. You know the carrot and stick? Those guys, see, when they want to bribe, you know, they give you bribes that you will ask God, God, even if I gave you just 20%, wouldn't you take it? Imagine you, JJ, all your life, you've been a university professor and vice chancellor for a few months. You managed to build 1 5-bedroom duplex somewhere in one corner of one distant part of, part of Enugu, and you feel like you're doing well. And somebody puts $2 billion on your table. And he says that, actually, we won the election. And you know. Suddenly, you'll be agreeing with them. You start seeing it. You will do 200 plus 250, and it will come out as 4,500. And anybody tells you it's not true, you will say the person is blind. You will remind that you're a professor of mathematics. Oh, boy, when 2 billion naira is talking, the Y, the X should not talk. That is one part of it. He said, I'm a righteous person. The person telling me, he said, that's one they do. The second one, they will show you a picture of your wife and your children.
He said, don't kill yourself for Nigerians. They will tell you. They now make you wreck, and you won't go to church to pray. And your only white hand has been firing you for 2 days. You have to go to church. See, do you get my point? You have to. You see, you have to. You have to. And you will tell God, these are my problems. I've heard these stories. Every profession has a risk. And the most powerful of them all is Elder John and Reverend Dami. Preachers. They have power. So when God gives you power as a preacher, go and consecrate it too. Because you might say, me, I'm not like that until you go broke. Until your landlord serves you quit notice because you are owing, not because he raised his rent, but because you have not been paying. And the one man that you've been ministering to now drives in a brand new, you know, Lexus that you should come and bless it, and he has never given you an offering. And you know me, sir, in fact, that was not even temptation. I will go there, say, Father, go burn this car in Jesus' name. Say nonsense. I can't pay rent. Do you know how much a brand new Lexus is? You know, these are the reasons why we pray. Amen?
Amen?
Yeah, that's how we pray. You say, Father God, please, when I see such legs, I should not talk. I pray, I have coveted nobody's goods. No silver, no gold. Father God, in the name of Jesus, let me be like Samuel. Let me be like Paul. It's called drawing near. Let's read the scripture and then we'll close with it. I mean, when we read this, we bow our head, we say a word of prayer, and then we close. Today is turned out to be an exhortation. We'll come back to praying with scripture next meeting. That's on next Tuesday. What is it? The book of Hebrews, please. Hebrews chapter 5. So in the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety, but literally, because he feared. Now notice that. He offered both prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one able to save him from death. Remember, the wages of sin is what? Death. The only way death will have power over him is through sin. It's through sin. And sin comes in different categories. Disobedience to the will of God for his life will have been a sin. And when he saw the cross, intense temptation to shy away from the cross, that would have been a sin. But it was in an intense temptation. What did he do? He entered into the garden and he offered prayers and supplications to him who was able to save him from death. What did he say? If possible, let this cup pass over me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And that prayer, with sincerity, the Bible says an angel came and strengthened him. Even Jesus did not go to the cross by his own strength. He had to be strengthened by the power from above. God had to send strength into him. Who are you, therefore, to live a holy and righteous life in this generation without the power of God? Who are you? You can't do that. And that's what I was saying when I began to speak. Many of us don't know what prayer is for. We spend it and every other thing apart from the place where it is needed so that we will be immune from God's judgment and the influence of the devil in our lives. You know what Jesus said? The prince of this world comes. What's the next line he said? He has nothing in me. What does that tell you? What Satan is looking for all the time is something in somebody. It's something. It's something. I recommended this book that time, The Oath, by Frank Peretti. There was a message I preached on that matter. I can't remember the title of the message now. That there's evil in every society. You go to Europe, there's evil there. There's a kind of evil in every society. Now, when I say evil, now evil that happens to people. For example, you wake up in the morning and your son tells you he's transgender. You come home, your wife doesn't just like your face again for no reason. It's evil. Now, when I say that kind of evil now, that happens to people. But for you need to connect with the spirit in the air to bring that flow into your life. And that's the one Jesus said, pray, deliver us from doing that evil. Many people have gone into places where nobody knows them.
They dress roughly. They blend in. They go and carry Asian Ashew. Of course, nobody will know you. Nobody knows it is you. Except that the evil of that Asian society has just entered your life. And that's what they wanted. If it's nobody knows, you don't understand. You stepped in, you were clean, free. The prince of the age there, the prince of the power of the air there came, and he had nothing in you. So make him admire Asian girls. And after that, see, the girl doesn't come back. Oh. Or she might come back, you don't see her again. And you go about your mission work. Except that, like Cameron said, that his movie, that his music. He said, come on back to my crib. This case is closed. That's a distance. He said, this one, we don't cap that one. It chop. Ah, leave him. Bow down your head. Say, deliver me from doing evil. It's a prayer. Say, Lord, deliver me from evil. You must pray that prayer. Deliver me, Father God. I cry like Jesus Christ. Deliver me from doing evil. Deliver me, Lord, from doing evil. I cry like Christ Jesus. Deliver me, Lord, from doing evil. I want you to pray. Say, Lord, I cry now. Like Christ Jesus. To you who is able to save me from death. And I say, Lord, deliver me from evil. Deliver me from evil. You know what that evil means now? Deliver me from evil. Say that at least to him 7 times. Say it. Keep on saying it. I cry to you, Lord, deliver me from evil. Deliver me from evil. Please, if you are listening to this and you have not read the book, Worship and Sex Control, go and read it. Deliver me from evil. Say, Lord, deliver me from evil. Say, deliver me from evil.
Please just pray. It's a battle for your life. It's a battle for your life. The Bible says we have not yet resisted unto blushes, striving against sin. Fight. Lord, deliver me from the doing.